Good morning. Welcome to Auroville Radio. I have the pleasure today to be with Loretta from Auroville Radio itself. She's one of our team member and also senior citizen of Auroville. Welcome, Loretta.
Thank you.
We have decided to go on and interview some of the Aurovillians who want to give us their voices and share their opinions and their stories, most of all. So first, Loretta, I'd like you to introduce yourself and tell the audience who you are, when you came here in Auroville, why, what is your story and your experience in Auroville? It has been so far.
Sure. It's a magical story. It's going to sound like a fairy tale. I'm an American, and I came to India in 1969, January of 1969, for 6 weeks. And when I set foot on the soil of India, I forgot to go back. And I heard about the word personal progress, which I had never heard. My family didn't go to church or temple. There was no religious teaching, anything like that. But that caught me. And I said, where do you get this personal progress? And they said, well, you go to the Himalayas because yoga is making personal progress. Bam, I went to the Himalayas. And I spent 3 years there doing traditional Indian yogas. And then I thought, I forgot to go home. I better go back. So on the way back, I had an experience of immortality in the body. And I got really excited, and I was running around grabbing everyone I could find and saying, listen, you don't have to die. And somebody said to me, there's a lady called the mother of the Sri Aurobindo Ashram in Pondicherry, and she is doing this work. So I didn't know anything about the mother, but I was staying in an ashram in South India, and I went to their library and I read one of mother's books. So I thought, yes, I want to meet this mother. And I wrote her a long postcard about myself, and I followed my postcard to Pondicherry. And because they had my postcard, I got mother's darshan right away. So this is how I got to Auroville. It was the centenary year. There was a big group of people, and I was in a line, and I went up the stairs and into mother's room. And when I got in mother's room, I had to watch what everyone else was doing, because in 3 years I'd had lots of darshans with lots of mothers of ashrams, and it was like a procedure that I knew. But mother didn't do that. You went in front of mother and you looked into her eyes, and she did something which I didn't know or understand at all. So I saw that everybody kneeled down and looked up into mother's face. So when the line came around the room, and it's just like if we have darshan and we go to mother's room, you go in, the line goes around the room, it stops at mother's chair, and mother's chair is in the same place. So I kneeled down, and I looked up into mother's eyes, and mother was the youngest person I had ever seen. She was 94 at that time. But her skin was soft like a baby's, and her eyes were a beautiful blue. And around mother, there was a kind of light, like you see halos in paintings of angels and saints. But I knew that this was consciousness. It was pure consciousness. I knew it. How did I know? I don't know. So then I'm looking at mother, I couldn't take my eyes off her face. And mother had attendants standing behind her to keep people moving on, because people did what I did. They don't move. So I hear somebody saying, put your head on mother's lap, put your head on mother's lap. Put my head on mother's lap, and mother touched the top of my head, which I still feel. And then, I still remember this, I thought, I have found what I want. I'm never getting up again. I'm not going to move. Nobody can make me move. And nobody said a word. All the attendants were quiet. Nobody touched me. And some force pulled me back up on my feet and marched me down the stairs. I was totally unconscious until I got halfway down the stairs to the meditation room on the ground floor. And then I became aware of where I was. And of course, I knew I couldn't turn around and go back up, which was what I would have rather done. So I left, I walked out, and I thought, okay, now I can go back to America. I'm free. I felt free, like a flying bird. And the thought was, I'm free to go back to America. While I had been visiting the ashram, I had gone once to Oroville because I just wanted to see some foreigners, because I'd spent 3 years up in the jungles in North India without seeing anybody from the West. So I went there, and I went to the Mantra Mandir, and nobody wanted to talk to me. They were busy doing what they were doing, and I didn't understand anything that anyone was doing. But what happened was, I saw Mother. The next day, I was living in Oroville in a room in the Mantra Mandir workers' camp. And I remember three things. I remember I have a mental picture of putting some things in a suitcase. I have a mental picture of stepping up onto the step of the Oroville bus, and a mental picture of getting down off the Oroville bus, and standing in front of me was Johnny Walker, who became a good friend afterwards. And he said to me, I'm moving out of the camp. I want to live in a capsule outside. Here, you can have my room. And there I was. And that's how I came to Oroville.
Beautiful, fascinating story.
It's all magic.
Magic.
Magic. Yeah. But everything somehow about my contact with Mother and even my life here follows this same incredible pattern.
Of magic.
Well, magic's the word I use for it. I don't know. What other word can you use?
I don't have other.
Me too.
Okay, so then I know that you've been for a while back to the America and then the Americas and back to Oroville. What is your life now in Oroville? What is it like? What do you do here? Why are you here?
Okay, well, I'm here very simply because of Mother and Sri Aurobindo. My whole life, somehow or the other, it's them. And when I found out I was going to stay in the camp, my whole life was talking to Mother, complaining to Mother, Mother, I don't like this. Mother, fix that. You know how that goes. In the beginning, you start to do that. And one thing I did was I never stopped talking about Mother all the time. And somebody complained, you keep shoving Mother down our throats. And I'm still doing that. Because now my main work is to teach about Mother and Sri Aurobindo here on the radio. And I, again, a magic story, I got trained because when I came, I was an artist. I had a bachelor's in sculpture from UCLA. I had almost a master of fine arts in ceramics from University of California in Long Beach, which is the highest master's you can get. I was ready to start the final master's project, which meant that if I graduated, I could walk right in and teach at the college level, and I never went back. So I came as an artist here. And I was here in this area for about 6.5 years, 3 years in Oroville, 3.5 years in the ashram itself. And Mother kind of tricked me out of Oroville out of the ashram. I would not have gone. But everything kind of dried up, and I had this feeling, you know, maybe I should visit. It's been 9.5 years since I've been back to the States. So they sent a plane ticket. I'd already wasted half of one round-trip ticket, had a new ticket. And I went back for 3 months, and I heard Mother's voice. I heard a sound. I was walking around San Francisco, and I heard a sound, and it went, stay, stay. Stay. And I recognized Mother's voice because I always listened to the recordings of Mother reading The Mother by Sri Aurobindo. So I fought with mother for 3 days. I'm not staying. You can't make me stay. No, no, no. And then I realized if I had taken everything from her, I couldn't say no to the one thing she asked me to do, which I didn't like. So I stayed, didn't know what to do. I ended up going to law school. Here I was, a middle-aged lady artist from some unknown ashram in the corner of India, law student. And I became a lawyer, and God knows how all that happened, but it worked. I mean, it's all grace, and you know, it worked. And from the beginning, I did appellate high court work, which is very high-quality research, because you can't go in front of the Supreme Court and make a mistake when you're telling about what you know. And you can't talk to a jury or talk to a judge and not know what you're talking about. That was my training for what I'm doing now, you see. Because when I came back, first thing I did, mother used all my artistic background. I used to do exhibitions. I had a lot of experience. I made exhibitions of Mother and Sri Aurobindo. And I did research. Now I had the other ability. And there are four of them, they became books. So I published these books, which is, it's all Mother and Sri Aurobindo. I don't even put my name on them. It comes all from them. And so when I do a radio broadcast, I have literally researched a Supreme Court brief, and I'm presenting my argument to the jury.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do today.
Quite incredible. I didn't know anything about your art background. I knew you had law background, but this makes it all even more fascinating and interesting.
Thank you.
And coming to the city of Dawn, Oroville, you know, nowadays we have been discussing this topic of the city quite a lot with the master plan, the Crown Road, and all this. I would like you to tell us, what is your vision of the city? What does it mean to you exactly, this word City of Dawn and the concept and the manifestation into reality?
It means the manifestation of real reality and truth on the earth. That's what it means to me, because everybody now feels something has got to happen. And I think the answer is there. And the answer is in us. We, at Oroville, I did once, Mary asked me to give a little talk to the students at Transition School on Mother's plans for Oroville. And we made it into a broadcast for the 1st of January 2017 to start Oroville's centenary birthday year. And I researched, with my Supreme Court research, every single word Mother said about why she created Oroville. And she created Oroville. She did it, her plans came in kind of four stages. And I'm going to tell you what they are. The first plan was for people to receive the new consciousness that was coming down. Those people who were ready. And this would actually go out to the world in some occult way that I can't explain, but Mother said it, and she had the knowledge. The second plan, which came some years later, was that people from all over the world should come, not just a few special people who could receive the Force, but people from all over the world should work together in love to bring the truth for the world. Because Mother had a vision that Oroville was a place with a seed of truth. And if that could grow and blossom, it would affect the whole world. And then, a couple months after that, she had a vision of people making bombs. And she saw, and I don't want to go into the whole story, it's in the broadcast, but she saw that there was an inevitability about world destruction in the way people were thinking. And a call rose up in her being and an aspiration to prevent this. And she heard a voice saying, "That is why you have made Orville." So Orville, it is the working together. It is the growing in the truth. It is the way we do things together that will make Orville. Nobody from outside can make it happen, because it happens with our spiritual progress. And Mother saw that, and she explained that, that if Orville was already built and everything was done, it would have lost its purpose. It will never be already built, because Orville is the ongoing building of us. Once something happens in us, there's a natural manifestation into a physical material thing, like a building, like a road, like a school, like anything else. But that's what Orville is for. And behind all that is the force that's coming, because the universe is ready for this. And on the subtle levels and on the higher levels, the subtle elements, let's say, materials, are there if we open ourselves to it. And Orville is a fairly enlightened community. I mean, people read Mother and Sri Aurobindo, they understand all the wisdom that they have given about why things work and how things work and what they should do. And it shows, you know, and it works. So all of these things are there. And I believe this. And so for me, this is what Orville is for.
Thank you, Loretta. I love these words. I personally love these
words. Me too.
And I would add also that in the text below the audio and the picture, we will post the link to the presentation you were talking about that you did at school 3 years ago, so that the audience can have a look at it and hear, listen to it again. Very valuable content. I think you partially replied to my following questions, but I'm going to make them anyway, because I believe you always have something interesting to add on. And it's related to the latest events happening in Orville, what has happened in the past 10 days since December the 4th, and even before, if you want to link with other events. Do you have any personal opinion or feelings or reflections upon these quite dark events?
Yes, of course I do.
Could you please share?
Yeah. First of all over the world today, people are having trouble with organized government. And Orville has not, until the 4th of December, when suddenly it like erupted into our lives in a devastating manner. And I think it's because Orville has, again, that same part to play. That the way this happens in Orville and how we respond will affect the rest of the world. And also, I think that sometimes things happen in Orville that don't have to happen in the rest of the world. And one of the things that I happened to think of was that with all this flu stuff, which is people look at as a kind of world war on computers, there has been no physical destruction. We've never heard. I mean, when you have war, you have buildings destroyed, you know, things like that. There's been none of that. But it's come to Orville, only Orville. And I feel like that's significant, that, you know, but it's our work. It's our work, and our work is a lot the inner work, and it's the same inner work to build the city that we have been doing and that we have to continue to do. And I have something else to say about that, because Mother made it clear in her, all the things that she said over the years about why she built Orville, that this is going to the whole world. And the whole world, she said, I can almost quote, the whole world will participate in the building of Orville. And she said, she said that when the governments of the world understand and accept that Oroville is here for the truth and for peace on earth, then it will affect everyone. Now, do we know if the governments of the world have accepted? We know something, and this just happened yesterday. I have friends that come from Findhorn, that people have often called our sister community, that was started. It was started almost around the time that Oroville was started, and everyone feels a great kinship with Findhorn. Well, recently, when the secretary put out this edict where she forbid our official outreach media from reaching out to the world, the response came, of course, from everybody else. I mean, the material is in everybody's hand. No one has ever felt that they are not supposed to talk and only outreach media can talk, so it's gone all over the world. Now the world has done it. I received an email that someone also originally from Findhorn has been reporting on this, and he has sent it out with the notice to put it on all public media. So when Oroville, as an official body, could not say it to the world, Findhorn took it up and did it for us. So you can't stop this. But what you can do is help it. And the help is as much inner as it is outer.
Thank you, Loretta. Do you have any message? Is there any particular message you would like to share with the community of the Orovillians right now?
Well, there's something that is meaningful for me, and that is that the supramental force, as Sri Aurobindo has named it, is the force that created the creation, and it was done as love. We are made of love, essentially. Only we tend to forget that because we look out instead of in. So as I understand it anyway, when we have that consciousness, all that love is there and acting, and everything proceeds in a more pure way for creation itself. So anything I would say is do everything with love. Do everything with love, not to get something, but to give something, because Mother teaches that the real love is giving and not asking and not taking. So do everything with love.
Thank you.
You're welcome.